Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Morning Reload. From high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Monday. On Saturday's installment of Weekend Update, I told you about the latest issue of self-aggrandizement by AOC, Albert Ogden Conservatives. They're pretty impressed with themselves and the numerous tax bills they've filed for the upcoming budget session. Simply put, all of them have some serious problems. All of them are pulling the proverbial wool over your eyes. Late Saturday, I caught up with Campbell County Representative and Chairman of the Wyoming Freedom Caucus, John Baer, to get the conservative take on all of these tax bills. It's kind of a lengthy interview, so we'll get right to it. But first, a word from our sponsors. Morning Reload is brought to you by the Buffalo Wool Company. They are the makers of the warmest socks that you're ever going to put on your feet. And I don't know if you've realized this or not, but February is coming, the coldest month in Wyoming. As you all know, my friends, I don't endorse a product unless I believe in it, and I have put these socks through the ringer. They are, without a doubt, the best socks that I've ever worn. To get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you are not going to be disappointed. For the other end of your body, you need a hat to keep those ears of yours nice and toasty warm. Go to newtrendhats.com. They've got a wide selection of hats for both men and women, and you're sure to find one to keep the top of your head nice and toasty warm. That's newtrendhats.com. Without further ado, here's my discussion with Representative John Baer. Joining me via Zoom is Campbell County Representative John Baer. John is also the chairman of the Wyoming Freedom Caucus. Welcome back to the program, John.
Thank you, David. It's great to be back on your show. And I have to tell you, I'm really impressed with what the Independence Network is doing. You're really growing in leaps and bounds. And conservatives need a voice, and you guys are providing that. We really appreciate that. And I hope that continues on.
Well, it will. And thank you for that. You know, we've been working really hard to provide Wyoming a source for that, where they can get actual news and where conservatives have a voice. So what you get from the mainstream media is pretty much the left of center perspective on everything. And when they do tell you the truth, it's only part of it. So we're trying to fill that space, and we're working really hard. The reason I wanted to have you on the program is to talk about all of these tax bills and a couple of others. There's been a lot of op-eds that have gone, well, back and forth, we'll say, and it's centered around just a couple of bills. The first one I want to ask you about is House Bill 45. That's the one that caps property tax increases, and it was brought by Representative Crago, my representative. First, let me just ask you, what's your take on that bill, John?
Well, I'm going to tell you that there are some good things in the bill, and then there are some bad things in the bill. Overall, I would say that this is a huge move for the insiders, and I want to take you back in time to 2021 when Chuck Gray, a member of the Wyoming House Freedom Caucus, brought House Bill 99, which was a 3% cap on property taxes. That bill, as it was going through committee, was amended to 20%, which would double your taxes every 5 years, so well above the 3% that Chuck had written it as. And that bill was killed. So clearly, back in 2021, the insiders were not satisfied with a 20% cap. Today, Barry Crago and the rest of the insiders who have sponsored that bill, they are at 5%. So I give kudos to the people of Wyoming who have elected conservatives in the legislature, who expose a lot of the things that are happening, who also show up at the the Revenue Committee meetings and have their voices heard. They are putting enough pressure on the people that are in the legislature to where they've moved from plus 20 to 5%. And I will give credit also to Mr. Weber and Brent Behan, who have brought the initiative. I think that just brings more and more awareness of how people feel about the property tax situation. And that, again, has moved the insiders from plus 20 to 5% in 3 years. So that's a good thing. We'll celebrate that as a win. But here's some problems with the bill. It does not give you a break on the land. And there is a way for that to happen, but that's been excluded. Your land will not have a cap of 5% on it. There are also some issues, the way I see it, that it's very possible that this could be interpreted in such a way that it only works for 1 year. We have seen from members of the Revenue Committee that they don't believe that this is a serious problem and that it will go away. That makes sense that they would have something that kind of sunsets after a year. There needs to be some language change there so it goes on for perpetuity. If we're going to have a cap, we're going to go through all the exercise of giving the people some relief by putting a cap on their property tax increases. We need to make it last. And 1 year is not sufficient. And, you know, there's just some other things that are problematic with the bill. But the good things about the bill, number one, is that it's a cap where you don't have a cap currently. My house went up 30% this year. And so just the structure of my house, if this bill were to pass as it sits right now, would have been considerably less by reducing that 30% down to 5%. Also, it takes place immediately. Other bills have been trying to just create a cap, and there are arguments that that is unconstitutional. This bill is a little bit more novel than that. It is actually an exemption, and it exempts all of the property tax increases above that 5%. Because of that, they don't need to change the Constitution, and they can take place immediately. So those are some good things and some bad things about the bill. I do believe if this were the only tax relief bill that were to pass, I would support it just to get something out there for the people. I would also work very hard to amend this bill and make it a good bill for the taxpayers. This is what I think as I look at the bill. I feel like the bringers of the bill are nickel and diming the taxpayers to death. And I say that because we've seen that the leadership believes that putting $1.4 billion into savings is conservative. And yet, providing about $20 million of relief to the taxpayers, that should throw them a bone, and those crumbs should be enough, and they should stop complaining. I don't believe that's the proper way to treat our taxpayers and our constituents. So I'm going to certainly work hard to try to make this bill a better bill as it moves through the legislature.
Having read through the bill, I see a couple of glaring problems with it. Now, let's just assume that the constitutional amendment doesn't pass, the one that would create the fourth class of property. That means that you're giving basically a giant exemption, as you put it, on a residential structure, but you're not giving the same exemption to a business, you know, a corporation. And you and I know that corporations don't pay taxes. You know, consumers do. So, I mean, how do they get around the constitutional roadblocks that our founders put in place to keep residential and commercial properties on the same playing field?
Well, because the legislature has the power to exempt any property, and I believe it's in Article 7, Section 12 of the Constitution, they're saying that this is, you know, one of those exercises of the legislature to exempt a particular type of property. And so that the type is residential only, and that which is above the 5% increase. Now, I agree with you. And the bill that was brought back in 2021 by Chuck Gray, that included all other, which would have included commercial. The bill that we brought last year that was soundly defeated by the insiders, that also included all the other category, which includes corporations. And it's probably not too far-fetched for people to believe that if the legislature were allowed to reduce your residential property tax and then increase commercial property tax to offset that, they probably would. I will tell you the lack of effort in the legislature to provide reform and relief over the last several years shows me that they're more interested in protecting the budgets of the the budgets of the bureaucracy, if you will, than they are in helping the taxpayers. And so, you know, there needs to be something that takes into account what kind of conditions the taxpayer is in. For instance, our bill that we will bring this session will likely ensure that the government cannot grow any faster than your income. And I think that that's a key thing. If your income is going down or is stagnant, government should be doing the same thing.
Every trip I've made to Cheyenne, it looks to me like the only place that is expanding is our state's capital. You go to any other town in Wyoming and you don't see giant cranes putting up buildings and major construction going on. But you do see that in Cheyenne. And I think that your point of government not only growing so much as the pocketbook of the average Wyoming citizens is well taken. Because for a long time, the only thing that's really grown in Wyoming is government. I've got one more quick question on 45, and then I want to move on. But at 5% every year, that means your property taxes are going to double in 14 years. You and I know that county assessors and the Department of Revenue are not going to interpret that 5% as optional, that it could go up 5%. They'll interpret that as mandatory because, of course, property always appreciates. I mean, how do we get around that? I mean, that's in 14 years, your taxes doubling. That's a huge increase.
Well, the way the bill is written right now, it is not a mandatory increase of 5%, but we have seen that language that would be in other bills in the Revenue Committee. So we know that they would love to see that 5% increase to protect the bureaucracy year after year. As it's written now, that's not the case, but it could be edited in that direction. That would obviously be a loss for the Freedom Caucus as we're fighting to go the opposite direction and make it a better bill for the people of Wyoming. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that and make sure that we fight that tooth and nail and not allow it to be an automatic 5% increase. So for instance, on the bill that we're bringing, rather than 5%, the very maximum that it can increase would be 3%. And the language is whichever is less. 3% is the maximum. The other thing that would be compared to would be your income increase each year. So if the average income in Wyoming increases 2%, that would be less than 3%. So the most your taxes could increase would be 2%. And that, we believe, is a fair way to allow government to grow. There is an argument that certain segments of government have to have more money because it's going to be more expensive to provide the services that we're required to serve and provide. But it certainly should not grow any faster than your paycheck.
Fair enough. Well, let's move to House Bill 3, and that's the property tax exemption for, let me pull up the exact language so we get the title right. So property tax exemption for long-term homeowners. What's this one about?
Well, this is what is often called the homestead exemption, and it does give a 50% exemption, but you have to be 65 years or older, and you have to have owned your home or a home in the state of Wyoming for 30 years. So this is looking out for those people who have been paying property taxes for a long period of time. Now they're probably on a fixed income or beginning to be on a fixed income, and they're looking at these huge increases, and it's not something that they were able to anticipate as they put a nest egg together to get them through a retirement age. And so this is a way to try to provide that relief. I've heard a lot of criticism of this bill because it only provides relief for one small segment. And that's kind of, if you go back to last year, that's what happened as well. We gave a refund, but it was based on your income. And that, of course, then is only for one segment of the population, and that's those that are poor. So this is another small segment. And we have done that before. We have had veterans refunds for their service in the military and things like that, where we've given them, you know, a bit of relief because of what they've done for the society. But those are decisions that every society makes. You know, are we going to all of us pay more taxes so that the veterans can pay less, or are we going to pay more taxes so that the elderly can pay less? Well, all of us will hopefully eventually reach that age. The argument would be that hopefully eventually we would all have an opportunity to benefit from that. Other states are doing this. It's pretty common to see this. So other than the argument that it's not tax relief for everyone, it's at least something. And the People's Initiative, which is 50% off for every taxpayer that's owned their home for at least 1 year, I believe that is an option that's there for everyone. I have personally signed that petition, and I'm supportive of it. I hope that most of the people in Wyoming do. Whether or not or how the legislature deals with that, if it passes, I'm not going to speculate. But I will say this, that at the very least, it shows legislators exactly how popular the idea of reducing taxes is. And that's an important thing. We have to make sure that my colleagues understand it's time to provide relief for the taxpayers of Wyoming.
Well, the biggest problem I see with them is they're only in favor of tax relief when it's around election time. Other than that, you know, they pull every trick out of their hat they can think of to avoid giving people a break on their taxes. Now, my biggest problem with House Bill 3 is a classic conservative argument that it's picking winners and losers. Now, I understand that if somebody's lived in their home and they've been paying taxes for 20, 40, 50 years in some cases, that's a long time. But what makes them more deserving than the couple that just got married and they're trying to start a family? Why should one group get a tax break while others don't? And to just say, well, this segment of society, we're going to give them a break and not others. I mean, that's a clear case of picking winners and losers. And frankly, I think that's another constitutional issue we have that this bill would have, that you have to have uniformity across the property tax class or the tax class.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I wouldn't defend, vigorously they're trying to select one group, because ultimately you know as well as I do, if spending is not reduced, then that young couple is going to pay more in taxes so that elderly person can avoid paying as much in taxes. So we do put pressure on different parts of our society to accomplish these breaks. It is picking winners and losers. You're absolutely 100% right about that. And until we have a legislature that is willing to, like I said earlier, pay attention to what the burden is on the taxpayer versus ensuring that government can expand at will, then we're not going to change that. Obviously, the Wyoming Freedom Caucus, our members are very interested in the taxpayer and what kind of burden they're under. So we'll fight that vigorously and try to ensure that real property tax relief for every taxpayer is available to them. And that is why I signed the initiative. I think that it does a better job of that than this bill.
Well, I think at some level we have to have some immediate relief for taxpayers. I mean, I know exactly how much money my family paid out in property taxes, and it was a lot. And we're not a wealthy family, so it was a pretty good percentage of our income paid to property taxes.
We'll finish up our discussion with John Baer in just a second. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. It doesn't matter what type of metal structure you're thinking about for your property, the two guys you should talk to before anybody else is Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. They are the best at what they do, and they've been doing it longer than anybody else around. You'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something you're not going to get from any of their competitors. One really cool thing they do is they use concrete pillars in the foundation and then insert a steel beam inside them. So there's no way that water is going to get underneath your foundation and destroy your building. So it doesn't matter what type of structure you're thinking about, give Nick and Jesse a call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com.
If you're thinking of buying or selling a piece of property, you need a real estate agent that you can trust. That person is Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. She's lived in Jackson for over 20 years, and last year she sold approximately $25 million worth of property. And get this, she's been known to talk buyers out of a piece of property simply because it didn't meet their needs. So if you want a real estate agent that you can trust, and you absolutely should, give Rebecca a call. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. One more time, 307-699-3519. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate. Who's the leader for the Senate? It's Reed Raisner. He's the one for you and me. Cheer his name so happily. R-A-S-N-E-R. What's his name? Reed Raisner. R-A-S-N-E-R. What's his name? Reed Raisner. Reed Raisner for the Senate. With the voice so strong and true. Bringing change from limits to Reed Raisner's here for you. And now, back to a whole bunch of reasons why you shouldn't listen to anything that Albert and Ogden say. Let's move to another bill. The guys on the other side, they're all excited about an education savings account bill. And that one is House Bill 19. I see a lot of problems with it. So why don't I just let you take a crack at it, and then we'll talk about it.
I'll say this first. We didn't get into the mess that we're in right now all at once. The other side has incrementally taken us there. And so I don't believe we're going to be able to swiftly change the government of Wyoming back to where it was 20 years ago. So that means that we have to try and get wins wherever we can. And the fact that the Speaker of the House drawed this type of bill last year after it had passed the Senate, and now he himself is bringing an education savings account, that's moving things in the right direction. Now, you did mention that this seems to be an election year phenomena, and I wouldn't argue against that. It does. Whether or not the taxpayers are paying attention and realize that, or the voters, that's to be seen. But I do hope that they are. And I think that the Wyoming Freedom Caucus did an outstanding job of informing the people about the speaker's moves last year when he drawed this bill and a couple of other very important bills. Now, this is a bill that I'm very concerned about because the speaker did not make it like the bill that was drawed last year in that this bill only applies to the poor. If you go back to the conversation we just had about picking winners and losers, if we're going to have school choice in Wyoming, it should be for everyone. Now, as I just mentioned about incrementalism, if all I could get this year was education savings accounts for the poor, I would take it. And then I would fight for more next year and next year until we actually did not pick winners and losers. The problem is, in this particular bill, it's got a bit of a poison pill, if you will.
A big one.
Something that has never been introduced before, and that is education savings accounts for preschool. Now, if people are critical of, you know, the kind of things that are being introduced to children in our public education now, how do they feel about taking that down to like 3 or 4 years old instead of just K through 12? That's what that would do. Not only that, since it's for the poor only, to me, this is daycare for the poor, which is something that the Biden administration's been pushing for, and it is simply welfare expansion. That is something that the members of the Wyoming Freedom Caucus really cannot get behind. And an effort was made this summer in committee to pull that out and make it a good bill. And at every turn, that was stopped and blocked by the insiders. So they want that preschool piece. And I can tell you, this is no different than the Democrats in Washington, D.C., what they're trying to do to Wyoming. And so we're going to fight that tooth and nail. And that is a very problematic part of that bill. I will tell you this, that we are bringing back the bill that passed the Senate last year. And so we will try to get a very good education savings account bill passed. And the majority floor leader is bringing an amendment to the Constitution for those areas of education that don't allow us to have education savings accounts. So we believe that the bill is constitutional that we're bringing, but there are some areas that it would be restricted in, and that's why we're bringing that constitutional amendment as well.
Well, universal pre-K has been on the wish list for the left for as long as I can remember, and it's for a number of reasons. I mean, it's the whole, you know, all of us, you and I are not gun fanatics. We are gun fanatics. And we know that if you start teaching your children young how to respect for firearms, how to use them, how to have fun with them, the likelihood that later in life there'll still be gun fanatics is pretty high. Well, the same holds true for the left. They know if you can start indoctrinating them when they're little, the likelihood that they'll be, you know, an army of little leftists in the future is also pretty high. Secondly, I see this as much more sinister than maybe you do. Right now in Wyoming, preschool is generally taken care of by ministerial organizations or parents do it themselves. The preschool I went to that I'm pretty sure is still in operation in Buffalo is run by the Catholic Church. So if you have funding for preschool from the state level, you and I both know that no state money can go for any sectarian purpose. That's very clear in the Constitution. So it's only for preschool that is not ministerial. In essence, you're favoring one group over another, but it's bigger than that. I see it as an attempt to do away with preschool that's run by a religious organization, whichever one that may be. The big problem, I mean, as if there aren't enough big problems with your House Bill 19, is Article 3, Section 36, John, that no state money can be given unless it is under the absolute authority of the state of Wyoming, which means that if you take education savings account money under this program, then it's no different than the public school that your kids are already going to, because the state is going to be in control of it. And so I see it as a second attempt to take back some ground from homeschooling and private schooling. I mean, this is a very problematic bill, John.
I would add that House Bill 19 also puts a lot of power into the superintendent of education in each district's hands. And we've seen, for instance, in the charter school fight, that has giving that power to those administrators has led to no options. And we ended up pulling that back to the state level and giving the top five elected the authority to introduce new charter schools. So now we're saying that if you want to have an education savings account, it has to be approved by your local administrator. Well, we've seen in the past that they're really not interested in doing that. So we're putting administrative constraints on this bill that were not in the bill last year, and they're really strangling it down. Again, like the tax bill, House Bill 45, we're nickel and diming this to the point where very few people can use it, and they just don't want to see that change. And I don't believe that everyone is going to take advantage of ESAs and school choice. ESA stands for Education Savings Account, because some people are going to look at the convenience of getting their kids into public school, the sports that they're in, those types of things. But the fact that we would have school choice puts pressure on the performance. And that's what I want more than anything. I think that I doubt that there's anybody in the legislature that doesn't want education excellence with all the money that we spend on education. We spend about $20,000 per student, and that's about fourth or fifth in the nation as far as the most per student, well above every state around us here where we're at in the West. But our performance is dismal. The superintendent of education last year came out and said that we're hitting right around 50% of our students are reading at grade level. Well, 50% is pretty bad when you're paying, you know, top dollar for it. So though we probably are a long ways off from getting a legislature that would cut that $20,000 down to something reasonable, like the $9,000 that they pay in some states around us. But we should at least expect top-notch results. And I believe that competition will put pressure on the public schools to accomplish that. And that's what everybody should be interested in. So this school choice is very important. It's proved itself out all over the nation. And this is a wave that the entire nation is moving through. How the speaker missed that in the last session and thought that he could get away with drawing this bill, it baffles me.
Well, there's a reason why they continue to repeat the phrase that this will ensure the integrity of the public school system. I've seen that at least three times. That's an exact quote from the Buffalo Bulletin. The reason why they keep using that phrase is that it really does help ensure that public education is going to continue to be funded, that these education savings accounts really aren't, this bill isn't designed to allow you to educate your kids in the way that you see fit. And it's, like I said, there's a big reason why this thing needs to be killed. And I mean, it's got so many problems with it. Now, didn't you say that Representative Ocean Andrew has got a real education savings account bill that he's going to bring?
Yes, he has committed that to the Wyoming Freedom Caucus, that he's going to bring that bill that we saw last year. He is working on some minor changes that he believes will help it advance further this go around. So, yeah, we're going to give the people, when they look at the voting record of the legislature in 2024 election, they'll be able to say, okay, here's the real ESA account bill, and here's the fake one. And who voted for the fake one? Who voted for the real one?
Fair enough. Well, there's one more bill I wanted to ask you about, John, before I let you go. And that one's House Bill 18. That one is very similar to House Bill 45, but it's titled Property Tax Inflation Cap. I have pretty much the same arguments with this one. But what's your take on House Bill 18?
I don't think House Bill 18 is going to go very far. We put a lot of work into it during the interim. And one of the things that was pretty telling was the fact that we had it at 3% or the rate of inflation, whichever was less, and the more moderate to liberal members of the Revenue Committee tried to remove that. And on a 7-7 vote, we blocked that. And so once they had it where it was based on inflation versus the higher cap that they would have, like you said, loved to see automatically increased by that cap amount each year. Once it was a lower amount, like 3% or 2.5%, whatever inflation was, it became unpalatable for them. And so I don't think they have any interest whatsoever in passing that bill. Now, that bill has a major flaw, and that is that it is a trigger bill based on the change to the Constitution allowing for a fourth division, which cuts out the corporations that we talked about earlier. So I don't see that bill going very far whatsoever. I would like to talk about one last bill, if you don't mind, before we wrap up. And I'm not seeing it in here, but it's an education bill, and it's the parental rights bill. Last year, the speaker held it in his drawer, the bill that had passed the Senate. It was Dan Dockstetter's bill, and passed the Senate, came over to the House, and died a death in the speaker's drawer. That bill would have protected that family that's been in the news down in Rock Springs, whose child began transitioning without their knowledge, and the school kept it from their knowledge. But it also would have protected and would protect in the future kids in kindergarten through third grade being taught gender studies. And so this is a bill that got a lot of attention down in Florida that had those two features. The bill coming through the Education Committee right now does not have that last feature that I mentioned. It would have helped the people in Rock Springs. So we hear a lot about, you know, we need to have Wyoming solutions for Wyoming problems. Well, had the speaker allowed us to debate that and pass that bill like it had passed in the Senate, we very much would have protected that family down in Rock Springs, a Wyoming solution for a Wyoming problem. And I don't believe that there's any bill or idea that comes from another state that goes through the deliberations that we do in the 92 members of the legislature and then the governor's signature or not, that it doesn't become a Wyoming solution, because we all put that Wyoming touch on it. Now, we're going to bring that bill again. I personally have it, and Senator Dockstetter is thinking about running it again. So one of the two of us will bring that bill again. So in each of these cases that we've talked about today, there will be a good alternative. Oftentimes when it's a budget session, we don't get to run a lot of the bills. So the speaker will look at bills that are exactly the same, whether on different side of the chambers or not, and he will whittle it down to one. And so that may be his excuse for keeping these good bills in the drawer. If that's the case, we'll push and push to get them out of the drawer and try to make that effort on behalf of the people.
So what is the bill count up to, if you've looked at it? I know I heard some big numbers before, but...
I've heard two numbers. I've heard 700 and I've heard 400. Based on what I'm seeing, I think it's probably going to be 400. You won't see that many on the legislative website. For instance, I have five bills. Not one of them has made it that far yet to where it's numbered and on the site. And part of that's on purpose. Part of that is we're working out little details to get more people on the bill. And so that may require some small changes. And once we've numbered the bill, it is set. You can't change it. And so, we're trying to be cautious and get it right before we introduce it.
Well, John, the budget session starts on February 12th, and I'm sure that we'll be talking again before that happens and after the legislature gets rolling. So I appreciate you taking the time to visit with me on a Saturday afternoon. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Well, they can certainly call me on my cell phone. I answer right away. That is 307-670-1130. I can be reached through my legislative email, and I can also be reached on Facebook. So I've got a Facebook presence for John Bear for House District 31, but also, I'm associated with the Wyoming Freedom Caucus. As you mentioned, I'm the chairman. So you can reach out to the Freedom Caucus on Facebook as well. And, we have a fundraising arm, and I'll just mention that right now. If people really see these differences and what a difference, they're making, and they're making through the Freedom Caucus, and they'd like to see more like-minded legislators elected in the future, we just ask that they would go to WyomingFreedomPAC.com and think about supporting the PAC that will elect legislators that are like-minded to the Wyoming Freedom Caucus.
Well, John, thank you once again for taking the time to visit with me, and you have a good rest of your weekend.
Great. Thank you.
That'll do it for today's installment of Morning Reload. Have a good week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the program. That way, you can be notified every single time there's a brand new installment of Cowboy State Politics. You can do that at the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, or anywhere that you get your podcasts. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.